General.
She's willing to go above and beyond, helping as far as in-house along with our operators on the road. We call her in for anything. And I'm ecstatic that the team actually picked her today. And it was a unanimous decision by our whole operations department. So we commended her this morning, contacted her and let her know. We'll see her tomorrow at work and award her with a certificate along with a special gift from us, myself and Mr. Bates. So Ms. Ava Toy, well deserved.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. It's always great to hear about our employees that are out there day in and day out delivering excellent service. So we commend her, and if you could please pass along our thanks for all she does.
Will do.
So.
Hey, thank you. So. Muted. Oh, you can hear me now. Thank you. Since I don't hear from Ms. Rush, we will, unless she comes on later, we're going to defer the Rush Award, but from previous months.
Hello, Paul.
Oh, hello, Ms. Rush.
Yes. I wanted to give the person the award in person, and it's been since February. So, since we are getting ready to have a recess, maybe we will be able to meet in September in person. And if not, I'll just have to make arrangements and give it to him because it's been quite a while.
Okay.
And I'll get hooked up with Ms. Anderson to see that he gets it.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Right. I can certainly be of assistance whenever you're ready.
All right. Thank you.
Since you're on the Ms. Anderson.
Yes, sir.
Since you're, I just might as well end with you. I want you to do your update for the Metro Access customer guide.
Sure.
Then we'll jump into the rest of the agenda.
Sure. Again, this is Allison Anderson for the interpreters, and I'm just giving a brief update on the customer guide revision. So from our last discussion on this, hopefully the committee remembers that a lot of your recommendations and revisions were, in fact, incorporated into the revision of the Metro Access Customer Guide. Pretty much about over 90% of what you recommended was incorporated into the guide. The major outstanding items for revision in the final document have to center around documentation with the search window pilot. Again, that's the search window, the 30-minute versus the 45-minute window that we went to during the pilot. So we're going to be documenting information relative to that. Also, too, more of an explanation on the fixed route equivalent and what that means to customers insofar as their shared ride experience. So we're going to be providing a bit more explanation in the guide so that customers are fully aware of what they can expect on Metro Access. Also, enhanced information concerning Abilities Ride. Since over the past several months, we've come a long way insofar as enhancing that program, and we want to make sure that we document for the purpose of the guide what customers again can expect and benefit from insofar as Abilities Ride. Also, we want to look at, since we're right now in the midst of this pandemic, customer expectations during emergency situations such as this. We want to again put some information in the guide to help customers with that information, again, what they can expect. And then lastly, we are no longer requiring signatures on the manifest, and we want to make sure that we document that in the guide as well. So what we're looking at timeline-wise is to complete the draft of revisions by the end of September. So once the committee comes back from the recess at the end of September, we are slated to be complete with the draft revisions. And then what we would like to have the committee participate in is to provide you with the draft publication either early to mid-October, so you can, the committee can see the draft, the final draft at that point, and then look to do final draft publication early first quarter of 2021. So that's kind of our timeline. So that's where we are insofar as the customer guide. And along with it will be the essential brochure. A lot of what's in that document feeds from the customer guide. So we will make those revisions as well as necessary in that brochure.
Thank you, Ms. Anson. Go ahead, Ms. Rush. Ms. Anderson, my only question I have at this point is, are you also going to include the in the guide the Metro Access bus stop locations at the individual train stations as they are available and exist right now?
Yes, sir.
And I also think, when all these construction projects are done, where they're going to be located along the Silver Line?
Absolutely. I think we already had that in our current revision, our last revision. But they will need to be updated, and we will make sure that we definitely do that.
And also in this revision, you're probably going to update eventually with the Silver Line information in terms of the possible change in the service area with, you know, six new rail stations.
Right. We will update as far as we can on that project.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Yes, Ms. Rush?
Yes, this is Denise Rush. This is just a suggestion. We haven't talked about it, and maybe we can think about it. Right before publication, could we possibly, since Carolyn worked really, really hard on this guideline, as most of you know, can we just say something in memory when we go to publication of Carolyn Bellamy, her contribution to that guideline or something?
Well, I would say, Mr. Blake, do you want to field that question? Okay, he may not be on.
I saw him on. Oh, okay.
No, I'll say we'll look into it. I don't know if that's how we handle WMATA publications. All I can do is ask, and let's see what it said. We'll see.
Well, the committee hasn't agreed on it either. It's just a suggestion. We haven't discussed it, but it's just a thought. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rush.
Thank you so much, Ms. Anderson, for your hard work and working with us on these revisions.
You're very welcome.
Next, I'm going to move to with Mr. Schaefer, the platform rehab program.
Okay. Not too much to say because everything seems to be going great. We've had no complaints to our office. I've only heard of one problem of a misconnection, and we've fixed all that. Essentially, the ridership is so low right now on the on these shuttles, the bus shuttles, where they're only running about 1,800 customers a day on the shuttle. And then, of course, the ADA shuttle beyond that is even fewer. So they're getting, you know, handfuls of people, but as I understand, nobody's waiting, and it's all operating very efficiently. Has anybody heard to the contrary? Okay, well, I guess that's good news. That's my report.
All right, thank you so much, Mr. Schaefer. So next, as I look at the agenda on my second computer screen, Mr. Blake, we have the next two items with you. So with the Aurelius Eyes update, I have this question I throw out there. You don't have to answer now. It could be thought about maybe for next month or something like that. Given the pandemic that's going on, is there any way, and I know ideally when this is all over, you wanted to start to do Billy Rice expos and things like that, but given the reality and uncertainty of things, and hopefully maybe, I don't get your feel on, what about holding virtual workshops? That way people begin to have control over using some of these new Abilities Ride providers, if that's feasible, given the uncertainty and fast moving state of things with COVID-19. And as you well know, that people will eventually start going slowly back to work or in some shape or form. And the fact that you have to do social distancing, you have to look at other options. You don't know how long you're going to be doing it with Metro Access, and you want to have open a lot more options for people to, you know, travel. I just throw that out there because I know you want to do it very carefully. You had one expo, and maybe can this be done virtually since, and begin to get people the ability to use other providers. I just throw that out there. Go ahead.
I think that's a good idea. I won't guarantee you that we're going to do one, but I think it is a good idea. I hadn't thought of it. Yes, the Abilities Ride Expos are important to us in terms of informing, educating our customer base as to the numerous options that are available to them. It certainly is possible. It's not impossible. It's not unfeasible. Let's just see. I think
it's just for the fact it's hard. It's going to be hard to physically get anyone together to do these probably in the next at least 3 to 4 months, given the uncertainty and people being nervous about traveling here, there, and everywhere, given the unsettled state about COVID-19 as an option.
No, I'm with you.
To move it forward.
So we will see how the ridership returns, because really, Abilities Ride, even though we talk a lot about it and it's been a big focus, it really is just a complement or alternative to our Metro Access service. So if demand is low on Metro Access, I don't really feel it's my role or responsibility to necessarily continue to highlight the alternatives when the safety net is available. We're really pushing these when the safety net becomes tight because there's so much demand and customers really don't know about their alternatives. So I think what we're gonna do is watch for the demand to come back, and as the demand is coming back, we're reaching out to specific customers. We heard from one of the community activists advocates just today, so she's going to be trying Abilities Ride for some of her trips in Virginia over the summer where we're having the shutdown. So as Mr. Schaefer was talking about the shuttles, you know, we have a member who's interested in trying to use Abilities Ride, and depending on her experience, she's gonna either advocate or come back and tell us what we need to fix in terms of the service she experiences. So I think we have several approaches that we're gonna try to take, but I hadn't put remote meetings or presentations on the agenda, but I will add that. And again, I won't promise all of them will be there. I won't promise a whole lot of them, but I think that's a pretty good idea. And we can certainly add that to our list as we continue to wait and watch for the demand on Metro Access to grow back to its normal levels.
How has been it's hard too soon to tell because we're still in the midst of, I guess, a pandemic. It's pretty much been the same since, I presume, since mid-March.
this since mid-March, demand has been really, really down. And I know you asked again for the numbers. I'll give it to you by tomorrow. I've just been tied up with some other things, and then my computer went down because of the fire at the building. So I'm having to recreate the information that I normally would give you. So I've been a little delayed on that. But by tomorrow morning or this evening, you should have the abilities ride numbers. But yes, there's been a significant decline in abilities ride, but that's to be expected as there's been a significant decline over 70% on Metro Access. So people just aren't traveling right now as they adhere to stay-at-home orders and other precautions.
Okay. Now, what about the Metro Access sedans?
Okay, so the sedans, we're still moving forward. They're still in the process. I don't have, you know, I can't tell you officially they're here yet. We're as close as we've ever been. We're closer than we were 2 weeks ago. We just don't have it all signed, sealed, and delivered just yet. But I'm highly confident that before the end of this fiscal year, which means before June 30th, this should be done. But, you know, I've been highly confident on things before, so we'll see. But pretty soon, sedans will be in the Metro Access fleet one way or the other. I assure you of that.
Now, any committee members have any questions as relates to those two topics, Mr.?
And one of the things we're going to do, well, I'm not sure yet. I'll just tell you this. One of the things we may do, and that's why Ms. Anderson mentioned in the customer guide, we're going to put language about the fleet. In the past, you've had sedans. You've had multiple types of vehicles. We have multiple types of vehicles now. But I think we're going to talk a little more about them. And in the past, when you had sedans, it was highly discouraged when customers would say, I want a sedan only and not a van. Well, this time we're not going to discourage it. We're not going to promise, like everything else. I never make a promise that because you ask for a sedan, you absolutely are going to get one. It's not going to be that kind of game, but I will assure people that what we're going to do is try to accommodate their wishes. So going forward, people who say they would prefer a sedan, we're going to try to accommodate them. We're not going to treat it as a reasonable accommodation. We're going to just try to accommodate your wishes as a customer. And then we're going to grow it out from there and talk to the customers and educate them about it. So that's one reason we want to add some language this time to the customer guide about the types of vehicles that are in our fleet. And also one thing, I just want to clarify one thing, Ms. I know you all know what she was talking about, but I like to keep language consistent. She mentioned she called it the search window. And I know you all know what that means, but just for the sake of consistency, and now that we have literally thousands of people listening or watching our meetings and sending in inquiries, what Ms. Anderson was talking about was our scheduling window. And it's not 30 minutes to 45 minutes. The scheduling window for Metro Access is 60 minutes, and we moved it to 90 minutes. So it's 30 minutes on each side. It was, and now it's 45 minutes. That's what she was referring to. But for those who are listening who have written me, because this subject came up last time, mm-hmm. and they were asking questions about the scheduling window and why did we change it and what is the future, I just want to make sure the language is consistent. Ms. Anderson was talking about the scheduling window. It's not called a search window in the ADA. It's called a scheduling window. And the Metro Access scheduling window was 60 minutes, and now it's 90 minutes. But yes, we're going to have that in the book, and we're going to try to make your ride as comfortable as possible. And if you like sedans, we may even give you some other options. And really make the whole Metro Access universe a much more customer-friendly one for your trips.
All right. Thank you so much. Any questions for Mr. Blake on those two topics, committee members?
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Phil.
Just general question. Who's going to be driving the sedans? Are they going to be distributed to all of the contractors, or how's that going to work?
Yes, sir. Each contractor will get their proportionate share of the vehicles. Or at least, let's put it this way, that's our goal, but no one company or no two are going to get the bulk. They're going to be divided proportionally in the same proportion they have the actual fleet overall. Now, since all 175 vehicles will not be here on day one, you will not necessarily see a sedan with every company right off the bat, but as they grow out, they will be spread apart in a proportional fashion.
Great, thank you. The other question early on, I know you just said you won't put a preference of a sedan in and then you can expect to get it, but early on we had talked about some people that just don't want to use the sedans because of size or accessibility or ability to get in and out of them. Will they still be able to have that put into their profile so that they will never get a sedan?
Yes, that now, so let's put it this way. There's a couple of things. If you say, like, we have the, we call them the Ford Transit customers, the Ford Transit exemption customers, we call them. That right now is a group of about six people who have reasonable accommodations under that legal definition that they should never be placed in a Ford Transit vehicle until we do some modifications to some of the vehicles, and the committee is going to be a part of that effort as well. But that's a reasonable accommodation where they're saying, because of my size, I cannot fit comfortably either getting in or getting out, getting on or sitting in one of those Ford Transit vehicles. That reasonable accommodation will still be there. And a customer who says that they absolutely cannot fit in a sedan will not be placed in a sedan. For those customers who say they prefer a van but don't necessarily need one, more likely than not, they won't be put in a sedan because the sedans is only going to be at most 27% of the fleet. So having a customer who says they prefer a van over a sedan is likely one that'd be easily accommodated in that realm, although that would not necessarily be a reasonable accommodation, so that will not be a guarantee. Do you get the difference that I'm trying to, the distinction
I'm
trying to
make? That's fine. I understand. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Any other committee?
Yes. This is Philippa Mazzell. What about the people? Hi. What about people who prefer the sedan and never want a van?
And that's where we get into the situation where, to start off with, we'll try our very best to put you in a sedan. That will be, but it won't be a guarantee. But let's say you want a sedan all the time. And let's say you happen also, may not be the case, you happen not to like long shared ride, fixed route equivalent trips. We'll probably reach out to you as Paul was saying, we'll probably reach out to you as an individual customer and say, if you keep that on your profile, that's good. And that will give us an opportunity to share with you other alternatives that may be free in a direct trip if you really prefer a sedan. So Philippa Mazzell would put on her profile, I want a sedan all the time. Can't always guarantee you that. When we do guarantee you, we'll keep you on Metro Access and you'll have a nice long 4-hour ride. Just kidding, man. But if Philippa Mazzell says that and we see that's a pattern, Philippa may get a call from Chris Blake and say, Philippa, I see you really like riding in sedans. I don't know how much you like long shared rides, but here's an option for you. And just because I know Philippa's already been using Abilities Ride, and I would just offer some of these trips to her and say, on these days, would you like us to look for that alternative for you? And if you do so, trip could be free or at a very, very minimal cost. See, these are the kind of discussions we'll be able to get as customers express their desires within the travel, if you will, the travel experience of Metro Access.
Okay, and it's only because the vans make me sick. The shock system leaves a lot to be desired.
I understand. We're not gonna bash the vans today, but I understand, and that's why we're working on a brand new van. So one day you might come back and say, I only want to ride in those new vans.
I doubt it.
I doubt it. Okay. I understand.
All right. Anyone else that has questions for Mr. Blake on those two topics? Hearing none.
So I would just say, in closing, Paul, I just want to put it in this regard. When you go to the airport or you go on Metro bus, for example, you can't pick a 40-footer versus an Articu. When you get on an airplane, you can't pick a 747 versus a DC-10, et cetera. And that's not necessarily going to be totally the case on Metro Access, but we want to really help the customer have a good experience in terms of all the things we have control over. And therefore, we might be stepping into quicksand trying to over accommodate customers, but we're certainly going to give customers that opportunity, not as a reasonable accommodation, but on a day-to-day basis. What kind of vehicle would you like to be in? And we're going to try our best to make that happen for the customer.
Oh, so you're taking requests now for that?
Well, we don't have sedans right now to put you on right now.
But as an idea, abilities ride or something.
Right,
else like
yeah.
That.
And we'll get to that. So, yeah, if the next time you book a Metro Access trip, you can say that, and then it'll just become part of your profile. But we're not doing anything active with it until the sedans are actually in our possession.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I know, Dr. Posner, did you have one more question?
Yes, on that last statement, can that be done with an online booking, or do you have to do that verbally on the phone?
Well, I think what we're probably going to do, what we're going to start with is when you're, I see. No, the question you mean about the sedan. No, I think that can be done either through the online booking or through the call center. When you call in, you can give the reservationist this added information in terms of vehicle type, you need a lift, no taxi, need to have a van. You'll be able to type that same note into the online booking as well.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you, really good.
I think I'll fly with that.
Yeah, you need to let David Schaefer know so he can fix it when Paul breaks it.
Right. Well, I got to make sure. Yeah, we got to verify that. But yeah, that's our intention, is that if the same way a customer can tell a reservation is, they should be able to put that note in there as well.
All right. Next is Antoine Johnson for eligibility status update.
Hello, everyone. Eligibility, we're still waiting. We haven't heard anyone needing the service during the project, but we are still taking applications, and we're encouraging them. If you need help, we're here to serve you.
So, AJ, my question to you right now, since mid-March, just on average, it can be a monthly number, how many requests have you had for applications for Metro Access service, just for new customers, that type of deal? Even though, yes, the number is going to be small because of it's essential travel, but just again for the committee to get a rough idea, since mid-March up until now, what's been your gauge and estimate in terms of the number of people requesting new service?
I would say last week we had about 200. Last week it's kind of picking up now. The first couple of weeks it was kind of quiet, but now it's time to pick up a little bit. So around 150, 200 new customers.
Wow, okay.
This is Vanessa.
Go ahead.
Question. Because I have been making the announcement in the various meetings, other meetings I'm in, and I wanted to know, some of them are saying instead of hitting, they're going straight to the voicemail option, as opposed to, I guess, the first option that mentions the website. Are you recommending that they do the first option where they website so they can get that information as well?
The quickest response is if they contact eligibility@WMATA.com.
Well, everybody doesn't have that ability. That's why I'm checking.
I can give you a hotline number.
Okay.
They're having trouble. Give me one second.
Well, they're not having trouble with the 962-2700. It was the two different options. Because the first option, it says you can also go on a website, which it gives, but the second one goes straight to someone's voicemail. And I just wanted to know, because I'm getting out there, they're saying, they're directing people to take the second option. And should they do the first option so that they can hear the website as well?
I would recommend doing the first option, and I will look into what's going on with the second option for you.
Okay. So you had another number you wanted to...
It's 202-962-2701.
2701. Okay. Thank you. And can you tell me the requirements again for that application, who's eligible?
Who's eligible for the project?
For this temporary access, yeah.
Anyone that has a disability that's having trouble using the shuttles.
Okay, and even whether or not they have applied before, if they have some type of disability, they can apply temporary access. Yeah,
even if they've applied before, if currently they're having trouble during this rehab program, We welcome them to reapply with that patient, and we'll get them some help.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for AJ as it relates to the topic of the eligibility status or anything eligibility-wise?
Well, I do have another question. If someone were to go to, say, another state, so the process is still the same, or has anything changed as far as sending, faxing over their information?
It would be better if you could email us, because, you know, we're not in the office to receive the fax. So you can either call that Hotmail and call that number I gave you to make a request, or to email eligibility@WMATA.com.
And my suggestion to you, Vanessa, for anyone, do it far in advance of the date you're going to travel, if you choose to travel out to another place that you're requesting paratransit service. At least give them, from my past experience, at least 2 to 3 weeks advance notice. That way things are taken care of seamlessly.
I just wanted to see if the process has changed any. Okay, thank you.
Nope, yeah, we're still, people still going out, it looks like. So we have done some visitor requests. So just contact us, we'll be happy to help you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, always have been, AJ, thank you.
Well,
all right, we're moving along quite well. So now I guess we're down to Terry Ann Williams Hall.
Paul?
Oh, no, someone else has a question for AJ?
Yes, this is Doris. I'm just wondering, just to clarify, for the purposes of the shutdown of stations in Northern Virginia, I understand there's presumptive
eligibility.
You can apply for presumptive eligibility. But if you do that, you can call the 962-2701 number to do that, is that right?
Whatever way is easier for you to apply.
Well, I'm saying, let's just say somebody doesn't have a computer or doesn't have computer access or whatever. but is the doctor's statement required? Because at least still over here, you're not necessarily going to be able to get to a doctor. Maybe they'll write a statement, but maybe they won't, and the logistics may be quite difficult.
For this program, you're going to get temporary eligibility throughout the program, and you can self proclaim. You can put what your disability is yourself.
Okay, you can self, that's very helpful. And then, it will, as I recall from a previous meeting, it will apply to a ride anywhere within the Northern Virginia region or anywhere within the Metro Access region.
Anywhere that we service throughout the Metro Access jurisdiction.
I see. Okay. And acting on the self identification, once you've done that, how long, because I heard 2 to 3 weeks, how long does it take to activate? Is that what you're saying the activation time is? I just want to clarify this. And also, can this word be put out publicly, that this program?
Yes, it should be out publicly. And if they apply, they should be able to get the service within that week.
Within that week?
Yes.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so, how excellent. Thank you.
One last question, just for clarification, AJ, as I close this. I'm presuming now, since you are not able, as people are found newly eligible, unless they send you a digital picture of themselves, they're probably going to be showing their personal ID for now instead of a Metro Access ID to identify themselves to the driver, given the nature of what's going on right now, if I'm correct, right? As you find people
eligible. Yeah, they could use a passport or a state ID.
But how do you get that? How does one get that to you?
They could even text it to me if you want. We've had them sent to us all types of ways, mainly through the email, but we have had made some special arrangements where they, you know, had texted. So when they apply, we'll contact the customer and work out those details on the basis.
Okay, if the person doesn't have like computer access, for example, can one just show the picture ID upon entry to the vehicle, which would make perfect sense for most people carrying around a Virginia picture ID. You know,
they could just show the driver an ID, a driver's license, passport, something with their picture and name on it.
That's perfect. Okay.
Thank you so much. I just want to clarify that during this COVID period, because obviously you're not able to print and send out IDs to new people since you don't have physical access to the building or are very limited, so it wouldn't be practical at this point in time. I just wanted to make sure people, you know, there's another means for them to show, identify themselves. Okay, so next is going to be the Metro Access Safety Update with Terri-Ann Williams-Hall. Is the provider for Challenger Transportation here on the call?
I'm not sure. They're not required to attend the first meeting, and they may not be.
Oh no, I just had a kudos for that person.
Okay.
As it relates to your topic.
Oh.
Because what I was going to tell is, you know, I was on a vehicle, and you know, a dispatcher from Challenger came and said, you know, this is a, you know, safety announcement, making sure you wear your PPE. And when the driver heard that, he put on his mask.
Okay, wonderful.
It gave good props.
Just so I can clarify, Ms. Williams-Hall, because I would just ask, is Pierre on the phone? Please make
sure. But I just wanted to give kudos for that. That's all.
But they are required to participate in the Metro Access subcommittee meeting.
Right.
Yeah, I was just going to give kudos. I was like, this is from Challenger Traffic.
So he may not be here, but if Pierre, if you or someone representing Challenger is on, please make yourself known. Thank you.
And I'll be sure to pass that along to them at any rate. So with that, I'll transition over to our safety update. Not a whole lot has changed. Our safety posture remains the same. Now, all drivers are required to wear face coverings. It was optional, but it is no longer at individual discretion. We continue to encourage the use of face coverings by our customers, and our scheduling continues to promote single rider trips. That's really about it. Are there any questions for me?
Well, what I've seen on the vehicle is the new COVID signage. I do like it. It's simple. It's to the point. It emphasizes the four areas, and there is a Spanish translation of it. And you use pictures too.
Yes. So we partnered with our marketing office to have those developed. I think they're on all Metro vehicles.
This is Vanessa.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. I'm not sure if it falls under safety, but the fire that took place a few weeks back in Metro Access headquarters, is that building returned back to, or people back in that building? Just wanted to know in case people ask.
Oh, Mr. Blake can answer that question if he's still there.
Okay, well, so no, at this moment, there's no access to the public. some people are going in the building as they're going through the routine post-fire repairs and checkups and things like that, but it will be quite a while before, in my opinion, it's going to be quite a while before the public is allowed back into the building. That's why you may recall, Vanessa, a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the Hettinger Award program, that's why that conversation was taking place among the members of the AAC, is because the likelihood that even in October or even early November that we would be able to host a Hettinger Awards ceremony is very slim. And that's why there was a suggestion of perhaps the building museum across the street. And I believe we eventually settled on a virtual celebration honoring Brian Miller in particular. But it's going to probably be a while before the public is allowed back into the building. Therefore, we're going to have several more months of remote AAC meetings, most likely.
Okay, so you guys have been back in your offices, though, Mr. Blake?
I have not been, because I have not deemed an essential need that I have to go there. I want to stay out of the office and allow those whose job it is to assess the building, the safety, and the repairs necessary, the room to do so. I do know on the first level, members of the team have gone there to pick up some essential equipment. And you've been talking about eligibility. So we picked up some essential eligibility equipment and we've relocated them so that our ability to distribute ID cards and other information to the customers as needed will not be disrupted. But we're not going there on a routine basis to work. We're working remotely out of that building.
So the damage was severe, or just the water from the upper levels that severely...
I really don't know, because again, I haven't been in there.
So, okay. I'm just getting information so I can pass it on. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
My question to you,
Mr. Blake. By the way, Challenger is here. I was in a call, but I was muted. So I was unable to speak. I was in a call, so I had to call back and then try to unmute myself again.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you very much. I'm going to pass the message to the dispatch and everybody. But we are doing that. And, you know, not only that, but we call them for different safety messages as well, in case they are around, you know, dwelling. We just call them to remind them, to relax their feet and to make sure they're wearing everything that we provided to them, the people.
Yeah, because what I heard is when, whoever was from dispatch from Challenger saying, please, this is a safety message, remind you where your PPE, the driver didn't have one on, and it just, he sees me with it on in the back of the van. It just prompted him, okay, I need to do this.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully
thank
all
you.
The providers
I'm gonna pass
are
the message.
Doing something similar to that.
Thank you very much.
So keep up the good work with that.
Thank you.
Paul?
Yes?
This is Anu. Just to share this information with everyone joining through the phone calls, if you need to mute yourself or unmute yourself, please press *6, and that function works for both muting and unmuting. Sorry you had trouble unmuting yourself, but just wanted to share that again with everyone.
All right, I do have a question for Ms. Williams-Hall and or Mr. Blake. Ms. Williams-Hall?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I know this. You probably can't answer the question thoroughly, but given what COVID-19 is still going on, it's ever evolving, how far do y'all see you going with the social distancing on Metro Access? Is it going to be through the summer, through the end of the year, until they find a vaccine? What guidance have you gotten from WMATA as of this time? Or what guidance are you following in terms of continuing with that? Just
so
to
I
kind
can
of gauge
take a stab
it.
At it, Mr. Blake. Please feel free to add on.
Because I know it's.
Mm-hmm. You froze on my end anyway. Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
We can hear you.
I can hear you.
So I didn't hear the last part of your statement, Mr. Semelfort. You froze on my end. Did you add something to the end of your statement? and it's happening again. So I'll just try to answer it. And then Mr. Blake, please feel free to jump in and add. Right now, for the foreseeable future, and until such time as something really changes or we get different guidance from the CDC, our plan is to continue with social distancing.
Paul, if you can hear me, you're frozen. Okay, Paul, you're back?
Yes, I guess for whatever reason it froze.
Yes.
But I'm presuming Ms. Williams-Hall, I don't want to make a summarize that for the foreseeable future, this is going to continue as they are, you're getting, you know, advice from health authorities and yes. from upper level management, WMATA, as it yeah. relates to this from safety.
Yeah, right now, there is no conversation about reverting back to normal practice. When that changes, it'll probably be the same change for all the rest of us, you know, with guidance coming from all of the health officials, as you mentioned. So until then, we're going to keep doing business as it is now, and that's practicing social distancing.
Okay. I heard reports that on Metro eventually they might be providing face masks to customers. Is that accurate? Like on Metro Rail or things like that if they don't have it?
There had been some conversation about that. I am unaware of that becoming an official mandate or practice. Mr. Blake, do you have any context with regard to that?
Yes, ma'am. So there is work underway. I meant to write you earlier today.
Because you know I'm heading with that question.
But yes, so as this discussion is underway, I'm talking with those who are ordering the supplies to make sure that there is supply provided for Metro Access customers as well. But we're working on that right now.
Okay. Anyone else has any other questions?
It's Vanessa again.
Go ahead.
So I have not been on Metro Access since March. What is the current, what does it look like currently? I hear you say something about one passenger. Does that mean you can bring your PCA?
So I've been riding. And so the way it's working right now, when you make your trip, you can still ride with a PCA or a guest, but it's everyone in that same party. You're taken straight to your drop-off destination to promote social distancing and not putting other new parties on. They're taking you straight to your destination. There's no other pickups.
Now, is it still the one-hour return time frame? All the other rules are the same?
Yes, all the other rules are the same. It basically, as Paul stated, was the only change is that we're trying to keep to one registered Metro Access customer on board a vehicle at a time, along with his or her PCA companion or others traveling with that customer. But everything else about the Metro Access service remains the same. The scheduling window, the pickup window, the whole nine yards, but because you're guaranteed to travel by yourself, all of the discussions we've had over the past year and a half about fixed route equivalency goes out the window because we're picking you up and taking you right to your destination.
Is that true for Abilities Ride as well?
In the sense of what? Give me the context.
What you just stated, they're just taking one person at a time.
Well, Abilities Ride has always kind of been the single ride. I mean, that's never been a shared ride. We don't.
I've had several trips where I've shared rides.
Well, now if you shared a ride on Abilities Ride, then you have to speak to the company about that. See, we don't book.
Wait a minute, you're talking about the trial thing. That one, I won't say that.
I don't believe. I mean, you know, I follow your trips very closely. I don't look at every single one. I don't believe you've ever had a shared ride on Abilities Ride.
Yeah, I will. Because I will tell you, with Uber right now, it's a one party per person, and they take you straight to your destination, and you have to wear a mask. That I do know with Uber.
Mr. Blake,
I go
to a book club once a month on the Sunday, and I've shared rides with people before.
Okay, but when you say you go to a book club, but those are not trips I have booked for you, correct?
No.
Right. See, and that's what I'm saying.
That's not,
those are Metro Access trips. And yes, a Metro Access trip, you could have had a shared ride. But even now, on the taxis, we're giving them so few trips to the subcontracted taxis because demand has gone down. I'm not saying it's impossible for you to have.
No, I was just trying to. Okay, I was just trying to see if anything changed on the cab rides.
Yes. No, okay, so Metro Access cab rides in the past, there is a possibility that you could have shared a ride under the Metro Access trip that was provided by a cab. But with Abilities Ride, there has been no shared rides to my knowledge.
Okay, no, I go to one place with the Ability Ride. Well, I used to.
Right.
So, no, I did not share ride at that time.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and then I have one more question. This is Paul Summerford again for Ms. Williams-Hall. This is just a thought. Given the fact that, you know, the mask requirement is required and to educate customers, is it possible, you can say no, or Mr. Blake can say no, is it possible at the...
Oh, my. I think he froze.
He probably froze before I said no, right?
Carrie Ann, how are you doing that? The only time he freezes.
I can't take credit for that.
So Terry Ann, I don't know if Paul can hear us, but if he can hear us, to keep this going, as we say in radio, the show has to keep going for a minute. We're live radio. To anticipate what Paul may have been asking, can you tell me if we're doing anything on Metro Access to educate the customers about the need to wear face coverings, about the need not to speak to drivers during the door-to-door and wheelchair securement process if their face is not covered? Are we doing anything to educate the customers at this moment on the face covering issue?
So a few things. So there is a recording on the IVR when you call in that gives you that information. So customers should hear that during the booking process. And during the actual reservation process, the customers are reminded that they should wear the mask or face coverings and not talk to the drivers during the boarding process. So there are two touch points where that can happen. If we have customers that only book through the web, for example, or have subscription trips and they don't ever have to call in or speak with anyone, they may not get that message until such time as they board because, again, it is posted on all the vehicles.
Hey, Terry, this is Allison. I think the web customers do see the bulletin on the website when they log in.
Wonderful.
And also a blind individual would not see that. So is the driver mentioning that when they come in contact door to door?
So we have not asked our drivers to have those conversations with customers because naturally we can't control how it comes across or, you know, any kind of misunderstanding with regard to that communication. So drivers have not been asked to do that. Again, for those who may be unable to see the postings and things of that nature, those things are available on the IVR and in the interactions when the customer is booking their trip.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Doris, do you have any comments? Go ahead.
This is Doris, to follow up. Has there been any thought, excuse me, of providing Braille or large print of the policy on the vehicles? I'm sorry. Or sending them or sending them through the mail?
So not from my, Mr. Blake, do you know anything about that? I'm not familiar.
No, in terms of the, well, we haven't thought about mailing out anything yet. I think we've decided to educate folks who are calling as they're calling in to book trips. They're hearing the message as opposed to sending it to 40,000 people when only a very, very small percentage are actually going to travel at this time. We would rather wait until they book their trips. Now, for Braille, what we always do with the Braille now, except for the Braille flip maps that are for the rail, which ADAP does produce and updates on a regular basis, and we have a whole new shipment in right now. Hope they weren't damaged by the fire, but again, I have to get inside to see. But when it comes to Braille requests, if a customer requests these instructions in Braille, I already have a contract available, and we certainly can put them, we can put together the information and get a copy of Braille for that request. But we don't generally print Braille materials as a matter of routine. We generally wait for the Braille request specifically.
Okay, and so the reason I'm asking this question, though, is, you know, several years ago, we did have this discussion because when you were going through eligibility, they do note the alternative format that you need. And so I know that the AAC had requested that when there are policy changes, you know, and obviously COVID has some big policies with it, that you could pull the list of those who needed alternative formats and, you know, send to them, or it's, you know, the material in alternative formats. And I know that this discussion was had back when Mr. Kent was, you know, heading the department, but nonetheless, I know it may have gone forward in your time somewhat as well. I don't know, but nonetheless, I think that might be a good practice to put into place here, because it's an easy thing to draw out, I guess, if it's programmed in such a way, to draw out the names of people who need alternative formats, and would be really helpful, I would think. Mr. Blake is
thank that, you. No, I hear you, and we've taken note of that, and we'll look into it. But yeah, generally
because
speaking,
because the COVID thing from everything that's coming out right now from the CDC, they are and other medical authorities, everybody is very concerned about the second wave, which there may be spurts right now, but in this coming fall and winter might be, you know, the big coming wave, and being prepared for that, I think, is real important.
Doris, sorry I got bumped out. I think I was seeking Ms. Williams-Halls or Mr. Blake. You can just summarize in a sentence about my question about reminding people to wear a mask through the reservations process is another point. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But, oh, you know what I forgot? I wanted to ask about the mask. So the mask, if you're giving out masks for people, or you're trying to, what kind are they? Are they the paper ones? Are they the fabric ones, the cotton ones? And the second thing is, I'm concerned that not everybody has necessarily a way to get their hands on the mask, and I'm wondering if there's a way that we can at least disseminate information to people about if you don't, you know, saying you have to wear a mask, you could get a mask from thus and so. And I don't mean something as simple necessarily as ordering off of Amazon, because some people are have very low incomes and may not.
Okay. All right, Ms. Williams-Hall?
Yes.
Oh, no, first was the, before I got bumped off, and what was your quick summary of inquiry about reservations process and reminding people about the mask?
So as I shared a few minutes ago, when you weren't, when you fell off, there are messages on the IVR such that when you call in to book a trip, you're going to be reminded about the expectation of wearing a mask and staying away.
Oh, okay, okay.
With the driver during the booking, the boarding process. And that same message is also offered during the reservations process.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's posted on the web. So anybody who's using the web, they'll see that message as well.
Oh, so it's done both ways. Okay, perfectly fine.
Vanessa?
Oh, I think, did we answer Doris's question about the mask?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I haven't seen the mask yet. I believe there'll be K95 masks, but the fabric materials and that information that Metro is planning to purchase or may be planning to purchase, I don't have that information at this time.
Okay.
And but Vanessa? If we could provide information about the way people could get masks on their own, it might be helpful to, you know, where to go.
Are you suggesting Metro does that, or when you say we, you're saying the AAC?
No, Metro. I'm just saying if you, you know, something like if you need a mask.
Yeah, check. I think
I think on Metro website, it does suggest how to make one.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if
not everybody can
business.
Make.
Right.
I know.
But I think I would just say this, Doris. I'm not saying it's not a good idea. I say, let me look into it, because it gets kind of tricky when Metro starts recommending somebody purchase something from somebody.
I didn't mean it that way. I meant something more general. Yeah. But thank you for checking into
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
And Vanessa, what
with
was your
a disclaimer.
Question?
Well, I've had a few blind folks that were interested. Would Metro Access object to taking people down to where they are having peaceful rioting? Because I have known of some blind individuals, in particular some African-American men, and their family didn't want to, a neighbor that said about wanting to join in the peaceful meetings. Would Metro Access object to those types of trips?
Well, Metro Access does not judge your destination. In other words, we don't prioritize trips, and we don't ask you why you're going to where you're going. You call in or you go online and you put in your pickup address, you put in your drop-off address, and we provide the service. Now, if you're going somewhere where there is a large demonstration, just like if you're going for a presidential inauguration or any other type of special event, there could be street closures and other things that impede Metro Access from getting exactly to your drop-off destination and providing you thus the pure door-to-door experience. But in terms of where a customer wants to go, Metro Access is not in the judging business. So you put in your pickup, you put in your drop off. Now I will say this, let me just add a little something. Much like I said, if there is crowds and street closures, we may not be able to give you the pure door-to-door experience that you're requesting or used to. But also, as we had a little disturbance, fortunately it didn't get totally out of hand in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago, but if there's a situation where it is declared unsafe to travel to a certain location, we will make that decision as well and inform the customer that beyond Metro Access control, it has been deemed unsafe to go to point A or area A, and thus this trip unfortunately has to be canceled.
So they would notify, they would let you know during the booking process?
This might be after the booking.
They will just let us know. No. This will likely be afterwards, yes. I mean, if you've booked a trip and the trip is to somewhere and something has popped off and it's being told that it's unsafe to travel into the
city. Because usually those places, they have to know in advance anyway before they can set up. So some people may already know where they're going to be.
I'm just giving you an example of why a trip in a remote unlikelihood, but it's possible, could be canceled after reservation based on safety and security reasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That would be not a Metro Access decision that it's unsafe. It would be a decision made by some law enforcement entity backed up by the Metro Police Department. So we would be following guidelines that we can quote to the customer. That would be the only circumstance where a trip could perhaps not be provided. But generally speaking, per the law, per the ADA, Metro Access is not in the trip judging business. You put in your pickup, you put in your drop off, and we're going to take you there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Are there right now any public comments? I just want to find out. Anu?
We received no public comments through phone call and or email. However, I do have some information to share.
Go ahead.
We had been trying to get a training for the appeals process done a while ago. Now we do have the contract, everything is settled. And when we would have done, now because of the current situation that we are in, we cannot hold it in person. So what we propose to do at this time is just like we are holding our virtual meetings, we can hold an appeals process training using the Zoom platform. And I will follow up with an email to all the AAC members, anyone who has not had a training in the last 5 years, please do respond to my email. Anybody who has not had a training in the last year and a half and have joined the AAC since then would need to join that training session. I would offer a few dates and timeframes, and please respond to that email. Let me know which is a more suitable date for the majority, and we will go with that.
I wanted to ask, Mr. Blake, is there any appeals cases right now that we need to attend to as committee members?
Well, the appeal, I'm no longer the appeal officer, you know.
Oh, okay. Probably I should ask Mr. Schaefer or the other person.
The appeal officer is Mr. Millis. So what we could do is I could either send him an email and copy you as a interested member, or you can write.
Well, because I'm trying to do it, but is there any cases that are outstanding that need to have a committee member on at this point?
I would say probably no, because of the fact that we're not denying anybody, because everybody at this point in time is getting presumptive eligibility or temporary eligibility.
Oh, okay. That's what I want to find out. Okay.
Yes. So I doubt if there's any appeal that would be required.
Okay, cool. All right. I just wanted to find out at this time if there's any pending appeals cases that need one of us to be in such a appeals case, a meeting.
Right. And Paul, this is Anu again. Just to share this, that we are not trying to hold this training session up because of there any pending appeals. But okay. we had been trying to get this done, and we, because of the uncertainty of when we might be meeting in person, we just want to take the opportunity and do that as long as, you know, we are able to do things virtually, we figured why not to take the this time and take care of that as well.
This is Doris. I have a question.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay. So it's kind of two part. The first is, given what Mr. Blake just said, I'm wondering whether it might be a good practice to exempt appeals hearings until we're back to normal or a so-called new normal, and what the barriers to doing that would be. And then the second part of the question, though, is, well, it's actually not a second part of a question, it's a statement. please, because I know I'm one of the people who needs to be retrained. I was trained, but the question is, the request is, please don't do it on a Tuesday, because we have right now standing staff meetings and things on Tuesdays. So I would really, because I would have to opt out if it was on a Tuesday.
Okay, Doris, thank you for sharing that. We'll definitely keep that in mind. And Dr. Posner, did you have any comments or questions?
Yeah, I apologize to Paul because it's not Metro Access, but I want to remind everybody that I sent out the links to last Thursday's board meeting on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
And anybody that has any question whatsoever about the current repair processes that are going on, the safety issues for COVID-19, the budget, the future plan for recovery from COVID-19, it's all there. And just skip right to the board meeting. And it's being done by everybody that knows what's going on, including the general manager, the chief operating officer, the chief safety officer, and the chief of planning. And if you have any questions from those, they are going to be invited to the AAC meeting. And so rather than having them waste their time by having to repeat what they've already presented many times, take a look at it and then have your questions ready for them. And if you have questions beforehand, send them to me or Anu, and we will share them with them so they can be prepared if they need visuals to present to you at the meeting. So it's a little homework assignment, and I apologize, Paul.
Oh, no problem. All right, if there's no other topics to be discussed that relates to Metro Access, I would like to, for once, and there's no other public comment, adjourn the meeting. Unless there's a burning topic that needs to be discussed.
Paul, this is Pat.
Yes?
Just have a quick question. I already know what the answer is. I have an individual, though, that would like to get confirmation that his Metro Access eligibility is still in
effect. Pat, you're going in and out?
Do you hear me?
No, Pat.
Yeah, I heard he said something about Metro Access eligibility, so hopefully AJ is listening.
So, well, I don't know that he is, but I would like to be able to send his name and Metro Access ID to somebody so that they could just verify for me, look it up and make sure he's okay. Who would that be?
This eligibility, that would pertain to AJ.
Yes, you could either send it to eligibility@WMATA.com, or you could, if you want to send it to me, it's awjohnson@WMATA.com.
Okay, good. That's what I needed. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Right. The answers to the question, but he would appreciate confirmation. Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate
it.
Right. I'm good, Paul.
Thank you. Here, no one else. I would like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 Aye. Nay. Aye. Abstentions. We are adjourned.
Have a great
week. Thank you, everybody.
Everybody stay safe.
See you all next month.
You too. Right.
Thank
Good
you.
Good job, Anu.
Thanks, Paul.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody.
This is unusual, Paul.
I know.
Yeah. Showing off, is he? Yeah, he sure is.
For metro axles, quite unusual.